Hey, how's it going, folks? Blind Bargains Cast 152. It's been a while. We're trying to remember how to record a podcast. It's been a little
crazy. What's a podcast? There's a podcast?
I don't know. Everyone seems to be doing them. People are flying in and out and, you know, try to coordinate a schedule and things like that. And I'm traveling and Joe's traveling and a million people that we were going to have on this show are all traveling. So it's just you and I, but it's okay.
Patrick's actually traveling
Patrick's here. So he's traveling, but he's here at the moment, I think.
He's here. Yep.
He's around. So we're going to squeeze in a convention wrap-up show, whatever it is. We'll do some other news as well because things have happened over the past few weeks, right? So lots of stuff. Seeing AI, new version. I totally missed that. I have to catch up on that one. And lots of Braille, lots of other stuff. So we're going to do a little bit of convention wrap-up the best we can with one person that actually went to the conventions and one who...
that would be you.
And one who just sat around. But you didn't just sit around. You got to listen to lots and lots of coverage. And lots of interviews.
I took the Jamie Paul's position of hearing all the audio that came in and writing show notes and a lot of great audio.
You learn a lot that way.
If you haven't heard it already, you get to hear the raw audio and the finished audio. So you get to hear the things that you will get to hear at the end of the year, the podcast outtake show. But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff going all the way back to our convention sponsor who started it all off. We'd like to thank Google.
Yeah, thank you so much, Google. That was a really cool setup that we had. But Google did several... four different podcasts from around the convention. We recorded a couple in St. Louis, recorded one in Orlando, recorded one back here. So we were kind of bouncing all over the place. So Android, Chrome, Google Home, and Google Docs all represented in Google. So we really appreciate their sponsorship. And stay tuned a little bit later. We're going to tell you how you can get into some Google user research and perhaps get rewarded for it as well. So thank you so much to Google for sponsoring convention coverage. Lots and lots of stuff out there from convention. And it's transcribed again, too. So if you prefer the text, you can do that thanks to Gracia Ramirez. So everything is transcribed that we've posted, over 24 from Orlando and St. Louis.
Yeah, and then next year, it's going to be in different places. It's going to be Rochester, New York.
And Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
We'll talk about that a little bit, too. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. So, it was conventions are becoming interesting. You don't have as much new tech at the national shows. Like, you know, remember way back when Joe and Blazy used to come in with the new Braille and Speak stuff every summer. And that's when it was debuted and announced was the day before convention. Well, that happens at CSUN now. All the new product stuff. And then convention is kind of when people try to sell the things that they announced in the spring, you know, if they can hold to that pattern. So you don't have the news coming out of convention that used to kind of dig around, although we had one for sure from HIMSS.
Right. And you got to talk to Jenny, who actually did both shows, if I remember correctly, and came all the way from Korea and talked about the new XL, if I remember correctly.
Keep trying to get this name. Q Braille XL. This is different and interesting. So I butcher this description every time, and they've gotten good at it because it's kind of an interesting device. But it's, you have what was a computer keyboard, and if you get rid of all the letters on that computer keyboard and you replace that with a 6-dot Braille input mechanism kind of in the middle, so you have all of your other keys, Control, Alt, the function keys, things like that, they're all there. But you have your 6-dot Braille keyboard for input. The idea being, anyone who's used a Braille display kind of knows this pain point of, okay, you're typing in Notepad, you're typing in Word, and then you need to hit Control Shift Alt T. I'm like, okay, how do I do that on a Braille display? It's just, you know, there might be a keyboard command to do that, but it was always really obnoxious and just goofy. And this is supposed to solve that problem, among other things. It's a really interesting design, not that much bigger than a QWERTY keyboard. Still 40 cells, and not much more in cost than the Braille Edge, around $31.95. So it's different.
It is different. I mean, look what Brian was talking about in June about the L Braille. And some of the things he had to do to make that work more efficiently. And this is another efficiency task. I mean, for the same people who feel like they're going to Braille screen input on their iPhone from now on, this is a device that, you know, is for the Braille lover and the Braille user. So there's, again, some people just approach technology in a different way. And, you know, maybe people think of Braille as their primary language. You know, it's like a... Mm-hmm. Second language, French or Spanish speaker, thinking in French or Spanish first. But you were going to say?
I talked to several programmers who were really excited by the idea.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who's in an application where you have to do all sorts of modifier keys and things like that, you don't want to do this dance where you're reaching from the braille display to the computer keyboard back and forth. And next thing you know, you're just on the computer keyboard all day. And I think that's where they're headed with this. They've added some other stuff too, PDF viewer and some of the other, you know, so it's kind of one of those hybrid displays. Of course, it'll work with your phones.
But what is it these days? I mean, you have some people who look at the conversation that you had around the note takers and the displays. You know, some people are looking for displays to have more note taker options. And some people look at a note taker now and go, wait, really, this isn't enough for me. I want a PC with a braille display. So there was a little bit of that all the way around.
That line is blurring, isn't it? I mean, it started with the Vario.
I would think so.
It started with them, and they've kind of, you know, realized that, hey, if you're going to have this device that's going to have a processor in it and it's going to produce braille, the leap to have it to do other things is pretty small. You know, you pretty much already have the hardware there. So to get it to do other stuff, you know, you might as well do it. And then, you know, a company like HIMS, like HumanWare, they already have all this code. You know, they've written it for the Polaris, or they've written it for the Edge, or they've written it for the Touch, and it's not that much of a leap to bring it over to another device. You might as well do it. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and you even ran into that a little bit on the conversation about the BrailleMe, National Braille Press, which I thought was a really good discussion about that and where it fits within it. Because I think that question that you asked directly, if you haven't gone back and heard that interview, you should, because that'll make this statement I'm about to make more relevant. You talked about stepping up from the $500 braille display. Why would you want something more than a $500 braille display? And I thought it was a great answer.
Yeah, and you know, and Brian is very open. They're continuing to sell both. The B2G, which is a product that kind of stumbled out of the gate, but they're looking to upgrade it. They're not abandoning that product as an Android note taker and actually talking about bringing it to pretty current Android, which is great. But then you have the BrailleMe 20-cell display. We heard about it first with Buddy several months ago, and now there's quite a few of them floating around. They were selling them. MBP was next to me at NFB. They were next to AT Guys, and we saw them. They were out of them after the first day. So people were definitely trying to eat them up. But yeah, you know, the way Brian explained it, right, having both of those options, some people want the simple reading. Some people want much more advanced functions. And determining what you want, the quality of the braille, what type of braille do you want? You know, the BrailleMe has been compared often to as signage braille, which I think is a very good comparison, the way it feels. You know, it has that stiffness to it, right? it's a little...
Right. There are some people who feel that the focus is a little mushy, depending on, again, how you read, how you feel. And some people have to crank it up to 100%. Other people don't find it that way. A lot of it comes to braille sensitivity, how often you read, you know, how new you are to braille or what you feel like is comfortable. And the same thing goes for embossers. So I feel the same way in some of the conversations that were happening with Chansey. Chansey, you know, talked about the tactile maps and how things were going from San Francisco Lighthouse, which is another great interview if you haven't heard. Go on back into the feed. And she launched off of that into all the different surfaces that the San Francisco Lighthouse offered. But I thought it was really interesting because that signage braille comment kind of sort of came in what she was talking about too with the tactile maps and how easy it was to have that right there in the convention to be able to have that kind of reading ability, which I think is... You know, again, I said efficiency earlier. I'm going to stand by that. There are more efficient ways and more ways than we had before than even last year to do some of this.
You know, seeing full page braille and seeing graphics in braille is a very underrated skill. Unfortunately, not a lot of blind people learn it and learn that spatial representation well. And if you can learn how to read graphics in braille, you can learn so much stuff. I have a T-map of the area around my house, and I knew the neighborhood pretty well. But it showed me some things about how a couple of my streets near me, how they curve way more than I thought they did, and how they kind of merge into each other, and just being able to see that in about 10 seconds by feeling the page of the area around my house. It's really cool to see that, and the way they've made those maps work, it's so cool. There's lots of braille everywhere. There were Canute demos and a couple of different booths. APH was showing them. They were at the independent, or NFB had one, you know, so they were kind of floating around. So people were playing with the Canutes. Of course, the Orbit 20 is still coming along as well. So lots and lots of braille all over the place. By the way, on the HIMS thing where we started this, HIMS in the listing for the NFB exhibit list, They identify themselves as HIMS, a Braille company connecting the dots. That's a bit of a reposition for them.
Well, now, considering where we were with low vision and when James was there and what was going on, that is a bold statement to make. And they certainly have been actually adding the talent to support that. You know, you've got Earl Harrison over there, you know, Jeff Baser, Damian, Andy, you know, I'm gonna get in trouble for not mentioning people, but because I know a lot of those guys in Austin.
Yeah.
But the whole team is definitely there, and Marcy Duty doing some of the stuff on documentation. I better mention her; she's known me for years. I'll be in real trouble. So I mean, it's amazing what's going on over there in Austin, because I think it is a situation certainly that we have to consider that some people are going to have to go into different ways to compete with a VFO, to compete with some of the software that's coming out of Microsoft, Google, and Apple, to offer services that are in new realms in order to garner the attention of others. Because that video magnifier market is somewhat crowded in multiple ways, right? And so it seems like a good thing to put a flag in for Braille, especially since we're dealing with so many new Braille displays. I mean, we've talked about it before when we've had Shelley on the program. I don't think we even had any inkling that we were going to have so much Braille over the last 2 years.
No, and there's more coming. There's another two or three coming down the pipe that could be there in the near future. Of course, we know Canute is coming, and there's more beyond that. APH is playing with Graffiti. You know, that's a whole that's another entirely different thing. That's a tablet, you know, 60 by 40. That's, you know, 2,400 dots at multiple heights. So lots of different things. You know, you might not even need a Braille embosser, but if you decide you do, well, there's more to choose from. Now, this became an interesting story, and there's been a couple of different pieces to it. Started with IREAT, and Chance talked to IREAT about new Braille embossers.
John Taylor.
Right, yeah.
And the, of course. Yeah, and the Go Braille.
The Go Braille app, which is one of the features that they have going on. And then the actual embossers, the Braille Track and the Braille Sheet are the new ones that they have. Very simple names, Tractor Fed and Sheet Fed. So what, you know, so Irie has that, but Irie has that because HumanWare now has Index. So Irie is no longer, Irie is no longer selling Index. HumanWare is the exclusive distributor for Index. HumanWare used to sell ViewPlus, right? And some other stuff.
Right.
That was like those big musical chairs. And yes, the Braille Track and Braille Sheet are ViewPlus embossers at the core with a rebranded name. So, which is so a very
rebadging,
right? Yeah, but obviously, if you look at the history of ViewPlus and IRE, that's a very interesting, you know, kind of going in circles. That's what we're doing here.
As much as I was saying that there were more players entering the field, there are still a limited number of stables that you can go jump into. I mean, that's, you know, you still need distribution, you still need somebody to get out there and show things. I mean, that's one of the hardest things I think for people to understand when they talk to us offline or when I do presentations. I have to remind people that the only way to show a Braille display is to put it into somebody's hands, and that takes effort and a lot of time and a lot of road miles. Unless you have a local dealer network. And so you really do need that kind of feet on the ground in order to get Braille out there.
Braille embossers. Yeah. I mean, that's a very, that's more niche than a Braille display. It's more niche than much more niche than a magnifier. You know, it's one of the most niche blindness products. You're going to sell probably in the hundreds a year as a major company. You know, I don't have any sales numbers to go by, but you know, you're not selling millions of these things.
And, you know, not to consumers. You're looking at education.
Even in education. I mean, when I had an Index embosser, I think that was a V3, that, and they've been coming out for 15, 20 years. The serial number was somewhere around 15,000, you know, and they were just sequential. And they might have even skipped a few numbers here and there. So, I mean, they're not selling millions of embossers. You don't.
And if you ever look at the price of industrial Braille embossers, you're talking $40,000, $60,000,
$80,000 for. Yeah, we've had American Thermoform on a couple of times about, you know, their $23,000. That was the cheap one.
Dollar Braille display, yeah.
That
yeah.
was the cheap. That was the
at cheap budget price for you today, $23,000. Right. So, I mean, that too is another one of those where somebody goes, well, why is this price so high? Well, you know, market design, $900 hammer. Yes, I'm selling to government. There is that old, you know, anecdote that you can throw out there. But yes, you're right. It is a niche within a niche. For some types of things. But I think that's you know, again, for the people who are looking for that, for the people who are connoisseurs of that, they certainly got a lot of information from our feed this year about that, because you talked about that kind of thing with Duxbury earlier in the proceedings, and you got to find out about some of the updates that were coming to Duxbury.
Yes, new version of Duxbury, and they are in parody now. This is one of those things that we've been kind of waiting for a long time. I think we probably, how many years of podcasts did we have where we were asking about the status of the Mac version?
You know, I was waiting for it when you asked.
And it finally came out, but you know, with this version and going forward, they are in sync with each other now. So no more waiting, if you're a Mac user, waiting for things. The Windows and Mac versions, they were able to, and that's probably what took so long, right, is trying to get those two in sync. But now when a Windows Duxbury is the same as a Mac Duxbury, is more, you know, more support. I mean, obviously their biggest support is for things like math. That's where they make a lot of their money. And they need to differentiate from a free product like Braille Blaster, which is starting to do some of the more simple stuff. And now it's going to be...
Which, too, is for the Mac. So you got Windows and Mac and all sorts of stuff on that side, too.
So now it's going to have to start to be a little more of a JAWS versus NVDA. All right, you got to justify your $695 existence. And, of course, Duxbury is a way more feature-rich program than Blaster is, at least for now. Yeah. You know, and so was JAWS to NVDA 10 years ago. So, you know, who knows where this will go a few years from now. Obviously, Duxbury has a huge market in education. And for any Braille transcribing house, of course, you're going to buy Duxbury. And full disclosure, we sell it.
Yep,
correct. ADT guys, and they've been around for what, 30, 40 years? It's the longest running... I'm pretty good safely say that it's the longest running AT product software.
Long enough that they could do an April Fool's joke with us about previous versions of Duxbury.
That was accurate.
On this very
that was accurate. Yes. Like he actually pulled the release notes from 1995 and was going
started up. Reading those.
They are
it
up
was
on,
so good.
They're up on that site, on the Duxbury site, and they still support the old. If you find a, you know, the it was the LED 120.
Oh, yeah, you guys broke it down about USB and connecting. So yeah. if you find want some old school Braille talk, that is a good interview to listen to.
You can find really, really old embossers, and if you can somehow get them hooked up to a computer, you can make them happen. We had one more. Why don't we move this up here since we're doing all the Braille stuff? We didn't get an interview, but you got some details on a new Braille Note Touch update.
Yeah, Andrew Flatter sent along the information about the new update that is coming to Keysoft, and it is listed in an article that I posted on the website, so that was actually happening in the background. I was not playing Heroes Call. There's another article we'll talk about a little bit later, but that came out in an email, and so we had that waiting in the wings. This is a free update for the July update. That's what it's called for Keysoft. And we're going to try and get Andrew on the program sometime in August to come on and talk about that and some of the things that are coming up with the Victor Reader and what's going on over in Humanware land. So, yeah, there's some interesting things. Have you had a chance? Any big feature that jumped out to you in this update?
Yeah, a bunch of scattered improvements all over the place. Suggestions for keymail, a share function in the keyword program. Don't have to go to the file manager to share your documents now. You can just do the context menu. That's always cool. I love context menus for everything. There's a share option that's available now. Hey, forward and back translation for a German Braille code, RTFC. What does that stand for in German? I have no idea.
It's been a long time since my high school German. I'm afraid to even begin to go down that road. Anyway,
another free update for the Braille Note Touch. So definitely... check that out. Of course, you'll get that down as a free update for your touch. And yeah, we'll see if we can get Andrew on sometime soon. We have a lot more. Hey, there were things that weren't Braille, and we're going to talk about them in just a minute on the Blind Bargains Cast 152. But first, let me do this from Google. Like I said, they've been sponsoring us during the convention season, including this convention special. Really cool there. And they want you to know, we want to tell you, our friends at Google are working hard to create great technology products for everyone. So they are inviting you to participate in Google Research Studies, where you can shape the future of accessible products and features and get rewarded for it. That's the cool part, hey, right? You get a little token of appreciation as they kind of put it on the Google site. Here's the URL you need, google.com/user research. It's all one word. So google.com/USER R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H. Go there. There's a link to sign up. Fill out the form, and then you might be selected for a future Google research study. It doesn't matter if you're an advanced user or a beginner user, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're looking for all sorts of people with different backgrounds and technology users. So go ahead and, again, google.com/user research. And we thank Google for sponsoring the convention special this week.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
The things that we are not Braille talking about, one of them happens to be WayRound. And this was something that I was really excited to hear the interview about, because you could use your iOS device or things that were kind of like Android NFC to tag things in your home, or maybe like clothing or certain places in your house where you can keep up to, I think it was 2,000 characters onto this, you know, essentially an NFC tag that you would use a device that you connect to your phone with or the app to be able to read that with an NFC reader and be able to find out what that is. So it was a starter, it was like $60, I think, for the starter pack. But what their initial idea was to do this for tagging things within your home and say like clothing. So that way you knew that the purple pants don't go with the brown jacket. That just doesn't work. Anyway, so you could do that kind of thing. Or what they're hoping to do is kind of what we've heard through, get ready for it, JJ, be able to read signs. So for a history of these things, back in the old days, yes. JJ and I actually heard signs that would communicate with FM frequencies. Remember that?
I remember those. Or at least demos. Those, yep.
Yep. There was going to be lasers at one point. You would actually be able to read signs with lasers. Then there was, what was it? Vocaleye? Was that what it was?
Was it Vocaleye, that the QR code one? Yeah,
QR codes. The QR code one, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, BVA did that one year and put it everywhere. So now we're coming up to this organization wants to be able to provide you information as part of their signage with other things. So you just put this NFC tag there, and then you would just, you know, come up and find out more about where you are, the room, you know, where you are. So basically like 2,000 characters worth of information about where you are and where you could go from where that is at the sign. And it's not as crazy looking as a little QR code with its squigglies, and it'd be more universal for a lot of people, because a lot of people have NFC. They just need the WayRound app, and yep, that would make life a lot easier. So
first of all, how did they get Apple? How did they say they found a way to make this work on the iPhone? That's the first thing that really surprised me, because Apple has really locked down NFC. So NFC is the technology that you use for payments, Apple Pay, Google Pay. And on the Apple devices, it's not used for a lot of other things because Apple kind of locked it down. So we thought they've opened it up a little bit, and they found a way.
And they do say that they do have a little wand reader that they suggest that is more accurate, and plus gives you a little bit more lead. So if you don't want to reach in with your phone everywhere,
you can buy the Waylink. So it's called the Waylink. Right. It's about $90, $99, somewhere around there. And that can also be used to identify these tags. On Android, it's probably a little more seamless. I'm going to try it out. I haven't had a chance to play with it outside of the booth yet, but it seems very utilitarian the way they can do it. Now, the cost of NFC tags is a little more than the cost of labels, so people are comparing this to the pen friend or the ID mate. You know, NFC tags are still about $1 a piece. So,
but I like that you can save all this to the cloud.
Yes,
if you want. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to, but you can, right? And so if you do lose something, or if you do want to transfer, so you could actually tag everything in your house, and then somebody else in the house could also do the same thing.
That's really cool.
Information, so that way you're not having to do that. It kind of like when you would get those NFC tags with the Wi-Fi, and so, hey, what's the Wi-Fi password? You know, go tap your phone on this thing. Oh, there it is. You know, so I like that. I thought that was really, really neat. And I had said that to Ricky, was like, you know, this is a great thing. Like, if you mess up all your clothes in flight, you know, you leave and then you're in the hotel and things got all messed up for some other reason and you needed to match your clothes back up again, you could do this through WayRound,
and they have
they
have different types of tags too. That's the other thing, you know. So not just, you can do the washable tags or the ones that will go in the freezer. You can do different things and reuse them. You know, unlike a label,
if you don't do that with ID Mate or something like that, or if you're not using Seeing AI, you could do it that way too. Especially if it's something that, you know, box of tools or emergency preparedness kit, with all the right. stuff on the inside. Even the date replaced by blah, blah date, you know?
Well, honestly, that's a really interesting use for vendors or, you know, anyone who's selling mm-hmm. food. You know, you need an accessible way to do perishable. The expiration dates.
Absolutely.
You have yep. to tag, it's serve safe. You have to tag your food when it goes in the refrigerator, you know, when it was there and when it expires. So that could be a very interesting way to achieve that solution as well.
It would keep you from burning up your IRA minutes.
Right. This is true. Before we get to before we get to IRA, and then what wasn't on the list, but uh-huh. it just made me think of this because we did a little bit of a talk with the Script Talk people and Envision.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And a company that was doing the by mail prescription labels. What's the name of the company here? Before I go on too much on this.
Express Scripts.
Express Scripts. Yeah. I did not, they had cornhole. I did not do great at that. I didn't record this one like at the darts many years ago. I didn't do all right. But, you know, if you're looking, if you have a regular prescription, this is where this thing works best. If you have pills, something that you take every month and you need to keep reordering it, they might be a company to look at because they will provide accessible prescription labels that will work with the Script Talk, which is something you can get from ID Made, or you can now do with mobile apps as well. And you can go through them. Now, of course, I'd recommend shopping around price wise. To me, price is still the number one thing if you're doing a regular prescription. But if they're competitive for whatever you're taking, you know, why not? Why not get accessible labels? Because the device is free. The labels are free. There's no, you know, an additional cost for that. And, you know, of course,
listen to the interview or read the transcript because they talk about how you may already be a part of a network that is a member within their organization. Yes.
Well, they say 85 million people. Many insurances, including a lot of the Medicare type stuff, depending on your plan. I'm not an insurance person, so don't ask me. But you could talk to them and you could work that out with them about which way you can use to identify stuff. And yeah, as you were saying, IRA, of course, another way to identify things.
You don't have to blow those minnows. But hey, Greg came on the program and we actually, Inside Baseball, had to record another interview because Greg had even more information that we needed to update. So there was a lot of information that came out about this organization during convention, before convention, yes. New apps were coming down the pipe.
Oh, let's see if I can remember it all. Let's see if I can remember it all. Because there was quite a bit. The IRA Live is one where you can kind of turn your IRA session into a broadcast. You know, I guess if you're at a place, say you're at an event and you want to share it with other people, it could be an interesting thing. Or if you just want to share it with a few people, the employment stuff. Now, this is some really interesting stuff. There's a partnership with Intuit. Had to think Ted has something to do with this. Ted Drake, who's been huge on accessibility.
Yeah, I kind of noticed he tweeted it first. And,
You know, if the way they put it, if you're an entrepreneur, anything that you're doing related to your business starting in a couple months or so is going to be free. That's the way they put this. That is very interesting for anyone who is an entrepreneur, or several people that regularly come on this show are entrepreneurs. And, you know, that's a huge step as far as helping enable IRA and other uses besides travel, you know, and kind of expanding IRA into other places. They had an announcement at ACB about doing some shopping days in the fall. That could get interesting, I guess, you know, and take IRA to the store to do some shopping. They're continuing their scholarship stuff. Lots of free IRA for students. If you're a student, you go sign up for that.
Right.
And you might as well take advantage. 9 months are free and probably a pretty decent shot you'll get accepted, because they definitely want to, you know, and they're doing that in part, right? Because they want VR to see the importance of IRA as a service. That's why they're doing the student program, you would think, right?
I would think so. And also, you know, you have, you know, what Greg was talking about with TeamViewer, you know, expanding outwards to do things to help you read things.
That is cool.
Along with, of course, helping with VFO, the VFO announcement, which
we've linked to in the show notes. That was another one.
Well, there's that one. And then there's also, don't forget about the ability to do messages for deafblind individuals, or if you just want to have it silent, you don't want to speak during a meeting or something.
Oh, there's lots of good uses for that feature. The messages feature. Absolutely. Sending the URL the ahead of time.
In the Uber feature. Yeah, that way you don't have to talk to the driver if you're that kind of writer, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's just so many things that it's getting harder. I think Chansey's visual interpreter kind of you know, phrase works best for these kinds of things, because it's not just one thing anymore. It's very, the tentacles, and I don't want to use that word. Okay, so let's say the reach, the abilities of the program are getting much more beyond just the idea that it's somebody on the other end of you know, the line describing something to you. There's so many more services and partnerships that are going on with Hira that it's actually hard to keep up.
I'm trying to see if it's up yet. The 2018 highlights, because Chansey did a really interesting speech at NFB talking about, yep, and it looks like it is. So we'll link to that in the show notes. She had a her title. They always have these long titles for these things. Directing Big Data and Technical Innovation, Perspectives on the Importance of Leadership by the Blind. It was her speech. Very interesting. Goes pretty deep into the confluence of a service like Hira or Be My Eyes. You know, how do we combine that and still maintain independence? Would you, because you got visual assistance from whichever service, decide that you no longer need to report an accessibility bug, for instance, because you had another solution? She really does a pretty good job of analyzing a lot of those kind of crossroads. So we'll link to that one.
Yeah. And if you in the show follow notes. Her on social media, she's done a lot of conversation about eroding skills or losing skills, or do you diminish yourself because you go, I'll just do this, you know? And then does that hurt other people who aren't using whatever method that you are using to accomplish that task? It is very interesting where we're going in that field, and that, you know, can be applied to anything. It could be applied to those who have Braille displays, or at least it has in the past, or those who have access to go to convention. That was something that was really interesting to be on the outside, taking the foot off the merry-go-round, as I said in June, to be, you know, on the outside looking in to see what other people were saying about the convention. And some of it was the typical trolling internet. There were some not so nice comments out there, but there were some other comments that were very thoughtful and insightful about, you know, I'd love to do this, but I can't get off of work, or I'd love to do this, but I don't have the money, or I'd love to do this, but,
yep,
you know, I can't always go to this with my family. So there was the call of the one percenter as what happens. But it was interesting because at the same time, it was happening for people going to Comic-Con. It was happening for people who were going to an animation convention in Austin in my feed. So it's not just us. I think that's important to realize, that any community that has a big event like this, there's always going to be a section of people who wish they could be there, but can't for whatever
reason.
They're
not cheap.
And so I thought it was easy.
I put it about $1,500 minimum to live comfortably at convention. And that's involving a fair amount of like using Uber Eats instead of ordering at the restaurants every day, you know.
Sure.
And that,
sure,
you know, maybe you can knock it down a little bit if you go crazy on groceries and, you know, do some, you might be able to get it down to 1,000 or something, or depending on how much your
not
flight
in
is.
California next year at CSUN, I can tell you that. That's not going to happen in Anaheim, but yeah.
I'll still have my grocery delivery, and so we'll have that.
Very much so.
Some other just random notes, and don't have a good way to segue back over to this, so we're just gonna, well, we'll zoom over this way.
You know, it would be cheaper if you could use an autonomous vehicle to get you from one place to another rather than relying upon airfare. See, I gotcha.
And this was started, this actually happened both places. Jeff was telling me a little bit about this. We were talking last week about some of the things that are happening, some partnerships with the organizations and the car manufacturers. So you are having a lot more dialogue now between, say, companies like GM and the blind, and how do, you know, they realize the opportunity that they can create by making autonomous vehicles accessible. And obviously, you know, you make them accessible, and, you know, they're going to be, a car company should be right along with us on making the laws catch up as far as, you know, getting driver's licenses and things like that, right? Because it sells more cars. It makes more sense for them to be on board with this.
You know, as someone who has purchased cars for spouses and the such and the like, and is probably going to have to do that for the 15-year-old in the house eventually, we have a say in this. I always laugh because my father was a GM, you know, was a service manager for 20 years, and people, you know, go, well, blind people, they don't know anything about cars. Well, I did, because my family was race car drivers. But more than that, you're going to have to ride in it. And so, yeah, I mean, I know people who were very particular about the vehicles that were purchased within their family, because if it didn't sound right, or if it didn't feel right, or it let in too much wind noise. I had a long conversation in Detroit when NFB was there. And then I had another conversation with Toyota way back when we first started that trek to Orlando at NFB about how we as individuals are still paying for the car and still paying for insurance. So it matters to us, even if it's down to the, how easy can I turn and off the radio?
I was just going to say, no, I have seen some like pretty touchscreen-ish inaccessible music systems in some new cars, which to me is a bit baffling. If you're driving, you really don't want to spend a lot of time. If you use it, but it's a touchscreen, you have to look at it. And I'm sure a lot of sighted people look at the radio to figure out which button to press anyway, but at least if you can turn, you know, on the old radios, you could turn the knob to go between channels.
Well, and so much because you can't have the cell phone easily displayed where a cop could see you texting or something like that. That's why Android Auto and CarPlay for iPhone, that's why it's so important for those things, because everyone could use it, right? You know, everybody could actually be a part of that and change their station and, you know, make calls or something like that. So that's really helpful in being able to do that. And some of that is very accessible and some of that isn't, because like you said, it's not designed with complete voice by default. There's still some visual cues. You know, it's like OnStar. If you have one of those for a GM vehicle, it actually does flash up little lights to tell you left or right or more of that. Cause it tells you over the speakers. And in some OnStar vehicles, it actually lowers the air conditioner down to a smaller level. Cool. So you can hear it over the air. Cause if you have it on full, it'll actually turn it down so you can hear the direction and then turn the air conditioner back up. It's really funny. My mom's car is like that. There's a lot. And if there is some automatic involvement, what does the car sound like? You think we debate about voices on televisions and other devices already? Wait till you get
the voices on the car.
Voice of this car? No, I'm out.
Can I have John Legend in my car?
Correct. Exactly. So it's always interesting to talk to people like that because they never fathom it. It's not even anywhere near the lexicon of how they would approach a conversation with a disabled individual. And so it's always funny to have those ideas about, I chose not to go for a car once because the back window didn't roll down all the way. I was like, you know, what if I need to order a Taco Bell? I'm the one ordering. Nah, this is out. Forget it. I'm gone. So one of the other interviews that I thought was fascinating about what came from convention, and when I first saw this name, I wasn't really sure what to make of it at first, but Roughwear is need stuff for your animal, your service animal. So, you know, we were talking about how things feel with autonomous vehicles and how, you know, durable things are on the inside of the car. Does it feel cheap? They're really working on the ability to have durable harnesses and lightweight.
That are way more lightweight. That's the right.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of traveling.
And the telescoping handle and all of this. And as Chansey says in the interview, she got to meet the most obedient dog on the floor at Exhibit Hall.
It was stuffed.
It was a statue. But, you know, look at that interview for some of the descriptions that Chansey gives of the harnesses, because it was really fascinating to hear how their approach was for this, you know, more durable way and lightweight way of being able to travel back and forth with your service guide. And I thought it was really fascinating. And so definitely check out that and head over to the show notes to get to the link on Roughwear, because I thought it was a really good interview that Chansey did.
Another one that was interesting to me that I wasn't really expecting or really looking for was a company called Votech. So when you go to vote, there's been lots of talk over the years about the accessible voting machines. Many of you may have used them before. And I definitely encourage you to go out and vote if you haven't used these before, because that is a right that we have and it's really cool. But when you show up at the election voting precinct locally, well, you usually have to sign in. You have to verify your information. And right now that is not accessible, you know, where they verify your address and your date of birth, whatever other things they have to verify. They call it poll book. And it's another area, well, that we have a company trying to fix that and make it accessible. Votech is, to my knowledge, the only, and at least the first, that is doing this, making that whole experience accessible. So essentially it's on a touchscreen. And they are, you know, loading it up, so it will read out to you. You can hear it on the demo interview that we did with Doug Town, and it will kind of read the whole that information and kind of talk you through. And I guess you could probably plug in headphones as well, which you might want to do. You know, I mean, it's everyone has different levels of privacy, right? I mean, I don't care if someone says my address out loud. It's pretty easy to find if somebody wanted to really get my address. So the poll worker says it out loud. Yeah, you live at this street, right? I mean, I'm not too, but
yeah.
But somebody else might not want that, right?
Some people are very concerned.
Exactly. Right. Very understandably. And you should have that right to be able to do this accessibly if you would like to. So it's really interesting technology, you know, these type of things. I would have never thought to make that accessible. You know, I just, you know, you do it.
Yeah, and it was a really good dialogue too, because there were other things you guys hit upon during that interview that was really interesting about the process and how every state is different and how they have to make this work for all those different states and all those different scenarios. I thought that was really
fascinating. Yeah, everyone's a little bit different. You know, and even still, you're not going to get everyone. Like, for instance, deafblind users are they get left out. That happens so many times because, you know, you have to add Braille displays. How can you make that happen? You know, it's something to think about. As the cost of Braille displays comes down, those things might become more feasible. And hopefully, you know, when you have a couple hundred dollars for a Braille display versus a couple thousand, it's a much more viable thing. Although, I mean, of course, you say this shouldn't be putting a price on independence, but, you know, these things do come up, and just trying to figure out the best balance and how can we make the most things accessible is really cool. So, you know, that was, you know, it's the interviews you don't expect to find. You're like, you go to this table, like, who is Votek? You know, I know nothing going in. You know, if I'm lucky and I have a moment, I can go to the website ahead of time. Or otherwise, you're just walking up to the table. It's like anyone else exploring the hall. And sometimes that's how the interviews go. Like, all right, you know what? I'm going to learn about this right now with you while we're recording this. And we're going to see how it goes. And
I was lucky enough to bump into Doug last year in Reno, and I didn't record that interview, but it was a real fascinating conversation about how all that works, and he gave me a real good insight into the inner workings. And then I still learned a whole lot more during your interview, where I was like, wow, I didn't even get to about the stuff with the poll book. Well, I never thought of that. And knowing how people have to do the inner workings of things gets to the government side of me when I used to have to figure out how to make a job accessible for various types of disabilities. So it was really interesting because I had never really given it much thought. I'd just gone in, did my voting and moved on and got my sticker and walked out. So that was really crazy.
But then next, we need the Braille I voted sticker.
Oh, yes. The way around. It'll be way rounded. You can go up to somebody. Hey,
little NFC stickers.
Sticker on the tab. Yeah. Right. A little expensive for that. But yeah, no, maybe if we buy them in bulk, that would work. I get that. Future conventions. We mentioned at the top of the show that a couple of new sites have been added. Mm-hmm. So if you're starting to save your pennies, you know that you're going to be going to Vegas, baby, for the NFB. So it is going to be at, I always get these confused, Mandalay and Montego Bay. So yes,
they're at the Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay. This is going to cramp your style. You usually stay in industrial when you're up for CES and stuff. Are you going to be able to stay on the strip?
I'll stay on the strip. Yeah, I was trying to think if I ever have actually stayed, because when the ACB was at the Riviera, which is now gone, I stayed downtown. And then for my two CESs. That's fine.
They had bed bugs. It's okay.
Yeah. My two CESs that we've done, I stayed downtown. Stayed at three different hotels downtown, so I've moved around at least. But yeah, I like staying at the National Hotel for NFB. You know, it's
ages ago, I stayed at Circus. Not a place I would advise if you have a fear of clowns. Not a good place to stay.
You have a fear of clowns?
Very circus. I do not, but I know others who might, and that is not the place to go, because you will see several.
I see. You know, so unfortunately, in ACB, as I mentioned before, Rochester, New York. So
New York, that's going to be fun to get to.
So that's the thing. So it's kind of funny how these things go. You know, you've had the West Coast and Hawaii, very excited for NFB. Oh my gosh, those flights to Orlando have just been crazy expensive and long. You know, ACB was in St. Louis this year. They had a pretty decent attendance. Definitely easier to fly to Vegas than just to Rochester, New York. And the conventions, unfortunately, the good news is you get your 4th of July back, whichever way you go. The bad news is they totally overlap, even more so they did this year. ACB is July 5 to 12, NFB is 7 to 12. So
if you're a good salesman, you get to go to Vegas. If you're a bad salesman, you get to go to Rochester. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. just making a joke, really, although really we'll good, see.
You're just trying to generate mail for Sound Off. If you're a really good salesman, you can somehow clone yourself and do both, which is really...
Both, right. No, you get sent to AER. No,
but that's a full day to go between them, right? I mean, that's a go from Rochester to Vegas. If you're doing that, that's a full day that you've just killed.
You have to go do the head conference and then AER. There you go. That's
how well, then there's even more and more, but... Yeah.
No, there's a lot. That's an inside joke. Okay, now I'm really going to get the email. Okay, so also we heard that it's going to be back in Illinois in 2020.
ACB's in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is Chicago, essentially. It's a suburb. And, yeah. You know, so
which is read horribly by most synthesizers, I found out.
Really?
Which is,
it's really interesting. Really interesting. You don't, yeah. I can't remember the last time that a convention was not in a city center. They're actually in a suburb. But why not? I mean, it's Schaumburg is actually a pretty decent sized city. And, you know, obviously travel there is going to be, you know, much easier to get to Chicago. We don't have an NFB location for 2020. Right. I bet you we go back to Orlando at some point or back to Dallas, but nothing has been announced.
Oh, weird. Come on, Anatole. Yeah. That's where I celebrated my 40th birthday. Yeah. That's great. We're going over to Liam's house, right? We're crashing in
yes, we're all going to go to Liam's house, and we're going to do the we're going to have the convention. We're going to have the supposed to have the AT guys table there at his house, and we'll have a big yard party. We'll play some yards.
He has time to hide. He has time to hide. So there's a lot of new places for us to talk about next year. A lot of new sounders we'll have to have created by Giffity to get that done, because there'll be new places for us to be. But as a whole, you said that it was a little high on attendance than in past, or at least it felt that way for ACB. How did it feel for NFB? Did it feel like some people skipped this year?
Yeah, but even on a down year for NFB is 2,500. ACB gets about 800 to 1,000 at the moment, you know. So obviously, it's a bit of a separation in numbers. And I would guess for Vegas, it's going to be up. And I would guess for ACB, are going to look towards, you know, some will look towards 2020. You know, it's okay for your members, your strong hardcore members of either organization.
Sure,
you could put it. They're going to be. Could put it in Bar Harbor, Maine. And they will come. But obviously, you know, you have a lot of people that some people go just for the exhibit hall. Some people go just for a certain meeting or committee. Some people go just to meet people and hang out at the pool, you know, or whatever. So
I adore you, man. But if we go back to Detroit, I sure as hell hope it's not that round building again. Oh, my God.
It is the biggest hotel we have.
I have nightmares about that building to this day.
It's the biggest hotel we have. It's not much.
I was never so thankful that I had very little vision to be able to see the red CVS sign. So I knew where I was.
I learned some raised print, God, man. You do that that raised print stuff and you can tackle that.
Get around a little bit more.
No, you can do that. So that's next year. We have CSUN, we have ATIA before that. We'll at least make an appearance in Florida, probably me. And then of course we'll be at CSUN in Anaheim, not San Diego, but that's next year. So nothing else for this year except we're doing some state conventions. Figuring out the finals and which ones we're going to do, but we'll go on.
You know, you were so busy. Let me tell you some things that happened while you were gone.
Oh, right. So I saw this. I saw this human totally thing. Gone. There's a new Flick type?
Yeah. There's the Flick type that came out. You did an interview not too long ago with Flick type, which I actually told people about on Twitter when this came out. If they wanted to learn about why Flick type was charging money, that was a good interview. If you go backwards,
do you know what's going on? It's April. The news of the week. There's a bit of a kerfuffle between them and WhatsApp. Have you followed this?
No, really.
An accessibility bug with the Flick type keyboard or the keyboard in WhatsApp, and then the WhatsApp was telling people to just use a different keyboard. We're not going to deal with it. And then Flick type is like, oh, wait a minute. So that may have been resolved by the time this reached. Third-party
keyboard, you need to hang on there just a second. WhatsApp's got a lot of stuff. So did Facebook Messenger, which had a big
This is another interesting.
Fixed.
iOS does not allow, I'm just looking through their tweets. iOS does not allow dictation on third-party keyboards. Did you know that?
Interesting.
I did not know that.
That's
an interesting, unfortunate.
What about Gboard? I guess you can't do that on Gboard, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But lots of,
I'll have to look at that later.
99 cents is 99 cents a month. I mean, that's very reasonable.
Yep. And they've been giving away free years of it, by the way. So if you follow them on Twitter, they've been doing a lot of giveaways.
But that's a much more common thing that you're going to see now for apps. You're not, it's not going to be 99 cents a month.
Guarantee support. That's
right. Do you want your app to work?
Guaranteeing support.
Exactly.
look what
do you want your app to work for a year?
We had the 32-bit purge when iOS 10 came and went, and then iOS 11 came. We lost a lot of 32-bit apps, especially a lot in the audio games community. So, you know, this ensures that we're going to have compatibility in the next version of iOS. It gives you the ability to know that things are going well and strong for the team. And if there isn't enough people supporting it, then you'll know why they can't do it anymore. So I think a lot of people have to get over the idea of one and done. I don't see that in a lot of industries, whether it be video games, whether it be other services. I mean, unless you're getting bought up by like Ring Doorbell getting bought by Amazon, you know, who has the ability to support that through other services, then no, you know, you're going to have to find a way to, you know, code ain't free and coders got to eat, you know, code monkey need Fritos. So I know why people say that, but that is not the way the life works. And that can't be the way going forward for, you know, a product. And I think he explained it very eloquently. So go back to our FlickType interview from a couple of months ago and you'll get a good idea about how all of that.
I love guests that are real. And you know, I mean, they present things exactly how they are. And we've had several lately, and I really appreciate the people that have come on, you know. And you'll notice also the ones that we invite back more because we like real interviews, you know, and not just PR speak.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
Cyber Eyes interview, the FlickType interview.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had.
Yeah, those people, we'll bring them back if they have stuff because they're very upfront. I mean, you know, you don't have to give away your business secrets and things, but you're very, you know, they're very forthright about this is why we do this way. And really appreciate that. And hey, an update. We're wondering if we're going to get a Heroes Call update, and we did get one now.
We did, some 6 months after the initial run of a Heroes Call came out, with some interesting changes, a whole new enemy to go out and find. They fixed a couple of quests that had they were really hard to work. In fact, they would break if you did certain things in a certain way out of sequence. So they fixed a lot of that. I haven't even had a chance to play with this. I downloaded it before convention started, or right about when convention started, and then was like, oh, I'll do show notes and I'll go play Heroes Call. It's a month later, I still haven't gotten a chance to play Heroes Call. So I've looked through these notes, but haven't had a chance. I saw something about remastered audio, like Matthias's audio was changed. So really cool. I know for a little bit there was some fear. We talked on the show a couple of months ago that it was going to be a delay for the next update, but they've been calling out for coders. They're looking to staff up. So it's good to see these guys back on the track and releasing things. And free update, if you don't already have a Heroes Call, man, if you love Dungeons & Dragons and turn-based RPGs and really good, awesome audio, Smash Clay Audio, we've had her on the show, has been on, and I interviewed her with Ian Hamilton. She was involved with that. Adrian Kisminski, as I stalled till I remember the name. Sorry, Adrian. She was a part of that. It was so cool to actually hear on the credits people I knew. It was like, oh, I know that person. Oh, I didn't know you were on that game. I was like messaging people afterwards. I was like, oh, that was so cool. So you hear that in the credits at the end, which is really cool. Those are all self-voicing. So great for NVDA users, great for narrator users, or if you don't want to use either one of those, it's self-voicing. It'll use one core. There's a lot of great things in there, so go grab it. Also,
yes,
we had a couple of updates to a couple more apps. So Seeing AI had an update, a massive
2.3.
update, and Patrick's going to tell us a little about it.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty significant upgrade because the cool thing that it does, which I think it should have done at first, but you know, these features have to come out. The cool thing is it lets you browse the camera roll directly, which it never did before. You used to have to share a picture to Seeing AI from your camera roll or from another app. Well, you still have to share from apps, of course, but you can browse directly from the camera roll now, which is just all kinds of awesome. It also now supports, it's now in 18 more countries. Right around the same time, Envision AI came up with a new thing that, hey, we support French. So, you know, everybody's...
but they also added that PDF viewer, so you could actually read PDFs and save stuff.
Yeah.
That was killer. Yeah, so if you were looking for a reason to, you know, buy the upgrade to that app through Envision, that is a killer one to have. So, and at the same time, we saw, what was it, Adobe offering the ability to scan business cards, and then Office Lens turns around and does the same thing. Oh no! And JJ just showed
JJ just
the
pasted
list
all the countries,
all the countries
in the chat window:
Norway, Nigeria,
Zimbabwe,
Russia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Switzerland, Tanzania. Oh yeah, there you go.
So, just a few countries now. Yeah, not bad.
Just a little bit. So yeah, the ability to scan business cards, you know, through other apps also came about, and then you could import them to your contact list. So that's another one of those things, like handwriting, that evaded us for the long time, and now here's an app for your phone. Oh, well, thank you.
The other cool thing about the Seeing AI update, though, is that once you've recognized a photo, it doesn't have to be re-recognized again. So you can just look in the camera roll, and you know, oh, there's that.
Thank you.
I actually had an interesting experience, actually. Did I say actually enough? I'm not sure if I did.
Actually.
So I'm coming up on 25 years of being a licensed amateur radio operator, and this is relevant only in the sense that I posted something to Facebook, and my mom sent me a picture of me at, I don't know, age 9 or 10, sitting on my bed. I had all my ham radio gear on a dresser next to my bed. I had a handheld radio in my hand, and I guess I was actually on the radio. Mom sent me this picture. She's like, yeah, you might want to have this. So I didn't think about it. And then I got the Seeing AI update. And on May 21st, there's a picture of probably a young girl sleeping in a suitcase, which I was a little bit concerned about. I'm like, wait, what was I doing on May 21st? Why are there pictures of girls sleeping in suitcases on my phone? What is going on here? It just turns out it was, well, a young boy sitting on a bed with a bunch of stuff on a dresser next to the bed, and somehow it thought that was a suitcase. So,
I will be nice and not turn that into a show title.
Oh.
I will be very nice and not do that.
That's probably
might
for the
be
best.
Misconstrued. Yeah, it might be.
But it,
might
I don't know. It might give you interesting listener counts. I mean, people want to know what's up about the suitcase.
Yeah, it's all about ratings, Joe.
It's all about the suitcase ratings. You know it.
This is a sponsored podcast, gentlemen. So there are other things going on in the world that are happening along with these free updates, like the Holman Prize. Those winners came out, and we'll talk about that in the next show. And some other news as I go through the month of July, since this is our first
show back. Then I'm leaving next week. Sorry. But there you go. That was we're calling that our tip. Hey, I have at least one for Sound Off, so hit that button.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com. Or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Okay. So
sound off.
Woohoo! Sound off. Okay.
So that's the new sound off sounder. I'm not going to use the real one anymore.
Like that. Okay. It's very nice.
Okay. Jane's, and I forgot to mention this. There we go. It comes up here. Has anyone used the Tap keyboard? Got interested because of the Blind Bargains interview at convention. And does it come with one strap only? No. So it stays on all your fingers. And you kind of, it's like a partial glove, right? This started with Buddy way back when.
Way back in 2017 when Buddy was like, oh, you got to come see this, you know, and I went over there. I was like, well, if you like it, why don't you talk about it? And so Buddy got roped into our convention coverage that year, and he was right. He's usually a good judge of talent.
He brought us that in the Braille
meeting. Congratulations, Buddy, at your new job in Austin. Hey, by the way. But also, you know, the conversation that Chansey had was interesting, too, because she talked about having two taps, one on each hand, and doing Braille and the like. And there was a lot of conversation about that and doing things with the mapper, the tap mapper. So you actually could do some things beyond just the initial stuff that comes with the tap. So for those who aren't familiar and haven't heard our previous coverage, the idea is that this is a strap that goes around your fingers, and you can manipulate your fingers to do things like swipe your phone or do input or activate things with the mapper. You know, you could actually do gestures to do a macro. So a lot of crazy stuff that is in that interview. If you get a chance to go back and listen to
somebody needs to get some research money and then compare all these. So you could do that. I was actually talking to Garcia about this. She's like, I want to get that. And so I can learn as many different input writing systems as possible, you know, because she's a transcriber. So she uses a Steno machine, which is a completely different way of typing, but you can type a couple hundred words a minute.
Oh man.
Dude, those things are
like
crazy.
10 key with tap.
Yeah. Right. The 5 key. It was five key. That's the
five key.
The five key.
Well, the five key thing. You could always get two.
Right. Well, no. So wait. So we have this QWERTY free thing. That's I was thinking of that one that we had back in San Diego.
I understand.
You have the tap as an option. Of course, you just have regular BSI Braille screen input. You have, you know, of course, regular keyboards. I was trying to get her to get a Dvorak keyboard, but she wasn't going for that one
yet. No, there was the old Bat one handed keyboard and stuff like that where it had something, you know, kind of like
It's a learning curve, right? Is it worth learning another system of typing? You know, maybe it's different if you do or don't know Braille, you know. I don't know. So
and how young you are, how familiar you are, how many hangups you have, because as you get older you're like, I can't learn that, or I've already done that, or I already have 15 other things, I haven't forgotten all my command line, you know, blah blah blah. So, you know, it depends on where you enter into the process and where this could fit and how comfortable you are with it. And yeah, some really interesting things that came out of that. Thank you, Jane, for sending that along. Also, thank you for Diana Meerkast sending in wanting to know when we were going to record. And we said the next day, and then things happened because schedules. So we're actually recording more than a week after you asked that, Diana, just so you know.
It's kind of funny. This is one of those...
That's how it happens with podcasts.
This is one of those... ideas that I've been kind of for, and probably will take me another year or two to convince Joe we should do it. But I'll just do it without telling him. So
sure.
I think it would be cool sometime to live stream the recording of a show. You know, why not? It wouldn't really hurt anything. You hear some interesting stuff.
And obviously Mac accessibility does it all the time. I hear Shelly in the background going, I've been doing it for years.
Right, exactly. It's nothing new. You know,
she would say it a little nicer than the way I just
said it. It's nothing new. Honestly, it depends on the week. Like, it may not be as interesting as you think it is. But, you know, hey, you know.
No. There's a lot of things that Patrick makes sound magical, and a lot of that would be JJ and myself. So,
wow.
Very, very, very...
Wow.
We threatened actually to release the unedited version of the game show live from last year. That was really neat. That was actually really cool. We've had tons of ideas, and some of them actually do come true, because just like an Amazon Prime Day where you're thinking something's going to go on sale and it doesn't, so go some of our ideas for the podcast. So you wait, you know, all year, you're thinking something's going to happen, but some things do happen, like JJ doing a live wrap-up show or us doing the game show live, and that's awesome. And sometimes Amazon comes out with the most cool things ever for Prime Day, and I wish I had known about several of these as we enter into the last word, a little bit truncated this week because we've been talking about convention. Amazon has some crazy, crazy things for Prime Day that you may have missed, like, I don't know. JJ, how do you feel about 55 gallons of rust remover? You like that? That was on sale.
If it's on sale. I wouldn't buy it at the regular price.
Totally on sale.
No, wouldn't buy it at the regular price.
No. And if you're going to buy rust remover, you should buy
55 gallons.
A 55-gallon drum of it. Yeah, because, I mean, you never know when you're going to need that. So, I mean, it's important to have a lot of it when you do. Another one you might want to be able to have is an inflatable unicorn. I think that's important to be able to have, because you never know when you're going to need
a keyboard-shaped waffle maker, Joe.
That one I actually remember. I do remember seeing that online, and I did not
buy
it.
So, we were at...
I would love to be able to eat the home row.
Actually, so when I was at CES in Vegas, there was a tent. I want to say it was LG, and we were actually looking for food. And I'm like, oh, these guys are selling. They have waffles. It's like a food truck, a waffle truck. We go over there. No, they're actually giving away waffles. And one of them was shaped like a keyboard.
Oh yeah, I do remember you telling me about that. Yes.
So,
well, you know, I made a joke once.
Oh, Logitech. I'm sorry. Actually, we had to tweet. It was Logitech was the company that did that.
And Logitech was the
company.
You
had to tweet. Okay. Well, you were supposed to. I did. You had to tweet about your Logitech waffle experience.
I made a joke to my mother that all La Quintas in Texas, I think it was a Texas state law, had to have a Texas-shaped waffle maker, because everyone that I had stayed in that year had a waffle maker in the shape of Texas. And then my mother actually found one and sent it to Ricky and I as a present. So I have a Texas-shaped waffle maker upstairs in the kitchen. And I often offer Ricky West Texas, because that's where she's from. I'll just, you know, cut them
a gift in five card pieces for one free toilet replacement.
Uh-huh. Yes. You like that one?
Good.
That was good. There are a list, getting back to the last word, there's an article that we have here that lists some of the craziest things that have been up for Prime Day. It is worth a read. There is some
You can yell at Joe for stuff. Using a slideshow as a story. It annoyed me too. That's okay. It happens.
True. But if you read it on your mobile device, it expands it all. It's really good.
Okay, so just do the browser emulation trick. Maybe that's a future tip somewhere online. And you can just...
Everything, exactly. Yeah. So if you're browsing show notes on a mobile device, perfect. You're good to go. That's actually how I found this story. And then I couldn't find a way of doing it any other way but that. So thank you, CNET.
Yeah. You might want one free podcast replacement after hearing this one, but sorry, that's not yet available. You're stuck with us. And that's... But we do appreciate you listening, episode 152.
We tried. Yeah. Oh, we tried. We tried. So we're going to get Jeff and Chansey on a later show. Maybe separate shows, but Jeff and Chansey, thank you
leaving.
For putting up with us. And
I'm already leaving. This is it. One show, Patrick, I'm done.
Thank you, Patrick, for editing all that audio and making it all sound good. Thanks again to our transcriptionist.
Thanks, Garcia. Appreciate it. Awesome as well. And of course, thanks for Chansey for doing interviews in Orlando. Thank you, Google, for sponsoring convention coverage and this episode. Again, google.com/user research to sign up for Google User Research Studies. And might as well. It's free and you could get some cool stuff for doing that. So like I said, I'm gone. This was it. 152.
No idea what 153 will be as of this moment, so it'll be a journey for all of us.
No.
I think it'll be really fun.
I joke. I'm not gone forever. This is comes up every summer. It's our NFB Michigan Sensational Adventures in Summer Science. It's a program we do for blind teenagers across the state of Michigan and beyond. Hey, if you're anywhere in the country or beyond and a blind teenager, talk to us about 2019. You can... go to YouTube and you can search NFB of Michigan. We have videos of past years. It's a really cool program. We do a lot of STEM learnings and really try to drive home the importance of science, technology, engineering, math, and much more. We partner with Independent Science. We partner with a whole bunch of other organizations, APH this year, and many others. So doing some really cool stuff with science and much more. It's a really fun week. It will be really tiring. I'm going to come home and... not have much energy left.
So I need to pencil in 153 and 154. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'll be there. No, just pencil in the recording of 154 on Tuesday.
there's JJ sleeping in the background, right. And there we go.
Right, if you move with the ball Tuesday, then I probably can make it.
Not a problem. Totally can work that out. We're finding out more and more about what's coming up in the fall. Microsoft released a new cheaper Surface during this month. What are we going to see in the way of what's going to come out for various devices? You know, they just refreshed the MacBook line. In 2 months, we're going to be facing down all the conversations that come out of all the big winter carnivals that are the hardware divisions coming out and showing us what we're going to be spending our money on. Will it be Apple Watches? Well, it's going to be new Pixels. Is it going to be more Microsoft Xbox type hardware? We shall see as we get closer to the fall.
You can follow Joe to learn a lot about that stuff on Twitter and all his tech musings. That is twitter.com/RangerStation. Everything tech and geek and Dr. Y and whatever else he's doing.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Comic-Con. There's a lot of Comic-Con tweets. You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. You can also follow us over at Blind Bargains. That's twitter.com/BlindBargains. And of course, our sister site, AT Guys, because there were some crazy deals you were doing. You even did some stuff for Prime Day.
We did. Yes. We had the Primes sale. Everything, all the sale prices were Prime numbers. It was
Prime numbers.
They're geeky. Lots of fun. But of course, the Trex Air were huge at convention. Our accessible batteries were huge at convention. They're all still available at atguys.com. So thanks so much.
Great to see him leave off with a bunch of boxes and come back empty handed.
Yes, with many, many less boxes. Very cool. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for subscribing, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever else you can find us.
Saw a couple of people broadcasting Tune In. Yeah, that was awesome.
It's finally Google Podcasts. Yeah. You know, they're finally renaming all their stuff to, like, you know, names. And Google Play Newsstand is now Google News. Like, man, that just Everything is becoming a mirror
some
image.
Some people
now.
Even listen to us on that thing from the Prime company. Yeah, those things. Yeah, don't want to say the trigger word.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, so that was things, totally cool. Yes, thank so you. Thank you for spreading that around. We truly appreciate it, and we will all see right. you next week for whatever it might be for episode 153. Yes,
you'll see us next week. but listen anyway, it'll still be good.
Oh, thank folks. You. Thank you. Thanks.
I have a vote of confidence.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to go order my toilet replacement.
I didn't send your gift card.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.